good to know that we are children of God, that we are sons and daughters, that we are princes and princesses of the Most High King. Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth to restore us into relationship with God, our Father. Thank you that we can live a life connected and living in blessings, living a life of promises, living a life that you've called us to live. Father, I pray that we would walk that life, that we would live that life, that we would enjoy that life, and that we wouldn't look for things that can knock us off a path or look for things that can distract us from your goodness, God. I pray that you would just set our mind and focus our mind on you, God, and on your goodness. God, I pray that this morning that we would just be encouraged and know that you are who you say you are, that you are a good God and you have good things for us. God, I pray that if you need to stir any of our hearts, Father, as we talk about offense, that you would do so. And God, that we would be impacted today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. So, don't you love how technology sometimes just really messes with you? Like, it really does some days. Right now, we are... I think we're had some issues here with our Facebook feed. So I'm just trying to actually to tackle it and just deal with it right now while we're talking. So I apologize as I'm doing this because Ella doesn't have access to all my stuff. And then with our video kind of going haywire, I don't know what's going on with that thing. It's going to give me gray hairs and then my mohawk's going to get smaller as that happens. When I got a haircut this past week, he asked if I just want to follow the lines, and I said, just look for gray hairs and make that your new line. And it didn't get smaller, so that's a good thing. So we're talking in our series of No Offense, and this week we're in the idea of drawn in. So the series of No Offense, I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that maybe you've been challenged. And if you got mad at anything I've said, no offense. Right? We're not taking offense to things. We want to be a church that doesn't drink the poison. Amen? We want to be a church that if an offense comes our way, we just let it drop. We don't grab it and carry it and run with it. Because when we start running with it, we start slowly stumbling and we lose our focus on the goodness of God. So an offense is something that causes damages in families and friendships and in churches. And I've seen offenses cause church splits. People get offended in churches. It's weird. People get offended in churches about things like the color of paint. Where to put a stove in a kitchen. Or do we need two fridges in this kitchen or not? Oh, you think we need three? Well, I'm out of here. And people just pack up their bags, pack up their tent, and go home and pout. And jump to the next church and bring their offense with them. And then there's other things that cause people to have offense, right? Like maybe Mel didn't comment on my haircut today. He didn't say, nice haircut, I'm out of here. Do you know what I mean? But living with this offense and carrying this offense is something that slowly poisons us. It poisons our perspective. It poisons our relationships. It just flat out poisons. And like I said a few moments ago, I don't want us to be people that drink poison. And we talked in the first week about how offense comes in two stages. The first stage is the feeling of offense. That's what happens when somebody might say something, somebody might overlook you, somebody might do something you don't like. Then the second stage is the choice to grab that offense and to live in that offense and to stay mad, stay hurt, stay whatever to that person. And then last week we talked about how the number one people, or the number one reason people live offended is unfulfilled expectations. And we talked about how this type of offense, this idea of offense, comes to us in three big old glasses of offense. The first glass is unspoken expectations. The second one is unmet expectations. And the third one is unrealistic expectations. And we said living offended or living with an offense causes us to stumble. And that's one of the reasons we don't want to live in offense, is it causes us to stumble. It causes us to stumble in our walk with the Lord. It causes us to stumble in life. It distracts us. It shackles us. It holds us back from the things of heaven. It holds us back from blessings and promises because we're not looking to our Father anymore. We're looking to people because we're offended with everyone or with someone, right? And we can't live a life like that. So today, we're going to be talking about drawn in. I was going to say draw it, but drawn in. And we're going to be talking about the story in Kings, okay? And we're not going to put it up there yet because I'll give you a quick background about this guy that we're going to talk about. So we're going to talk about a guy named Naaman. And Naaman was this great military leader, probably one of the greatest military leaders of his time. And he led the king of Syria into battles, and his leadership that he provided actually allowed the king of Syria to take greater land, and he really walked with this intelligence of battle. And he was a great leader in the nation. People loved him. Like, I don't know, maybe you guys have watched the Riders play last year, but there was Ella's favorite player, Naaman Roosevelt. And everybody loved Naaman Roosevelt. And just like Naaman Roosevelt, everybody loved Naaman, this general. And everyone in Syria loved him. And Naaman had all these slave people that worked for him, or servants. And they worked for him because he was a pretty big deal, right? Now, like, I don't know, did I mention Naaman had leprosy? See, this is something unique. Naaman had leprosy, yet he was still this great general, and he lived with leprosy. And it was something that Naaman had to live with every day. But Naaman had a servant girl that came up to him one day, and she told him about this person in Israel that could help heal him. So they petitioned him, and they asked him, like, come on, Naaman, like, go to ask the king. Let's go to Israel, and let's get you healed. Sounds like a pretty realistic petition from this young girl. And Naaman agreed. So Naaman went to the king and requested the king. And the king said, yes, go see that prophet. Naaman, I want you whole. I don't want you dealing with leprosy. We don't want you to lose a finger or something. We want you whole. So 2 Kings 5:8 is where we're going to pick up this story. And it says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, and it said, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he went off in a rage. Have you ever gone to someone and you're like, This is the answer you're going to give me? Like, have you, maybe, I haven't told anybody, okay, go wash in Eagle Creek and just rub the mud all over you. That's not my thought, but that's what Naaman was told to do. So here's Naaman rolling up to Elisha's house, right? And he's got his whole entourage of people. And maybe you've seen the picture, or the movie Aladdin. Has anybody ever watched Aladdin? And yeah, I think we watched Aladdin last week. And Aladdin is a fun movie. And when Aladdin is Prince Ali, do you remember when he comes into town to meet the princess and he's got his entourage and they're singing about him and Prince Ali and all this? I'm not going to sing it because I don't even know all the words, but they're singing this, right? He's got a big entourage coming with him, and that's what I picture Naaman rolling up to Elisha's house with his entourage. And I'm sure that Naaman had this grand idea of what this healing was going to look like and how it was going to play out in his life. Have you ever had that idea of how something's going to play out in life? Maybe a healing, maybe a blessing. And you've got this picture in your mind. And I'm sure he figured it was going to be a big show. Like there's something big going to happen. It was going to be amazing. And Elisha was going to come out and he was going to say some amazing words. Maybe he was going to hit him with a staff. I don't know what he thought it might look like. But when it doesn't work out exactly as he thought, he gets ticked off, doesn't he? He gets angry with the prophet and he runs away angry. Like, can you believe that prophet Elisha just did? He doesn't even come out to see me. He sends these two messenger servants out. And like, why would I go bath in the rivers of Damascus? Like that dirty water, that is the grossest water around. He's probably just ticked off. Like, does he not know who I am? I'm Naaman the Conqueror. I don't know if he was called himself Naaman the Conqueror, but I'm Naaman, right? And that sounds like us sometimes. Don't they know who I am? Like, I'm Pastor Dave. I'm Pastor Dave Miskell. I'm a big deal on my acreage. And I think so. Sometimes it sounds like us. And last week we talked about the unmet expectations, and Naaman had this idea what things are supposed to look like in order to be healed. And Naaman expected the show, and instead Elisha just sent out a couple guys to go take a bath. And he didn't really, but he gave him instructions, right? And it was nothing like Naaman expected. So Naaman leaves ticked off. Naaman leaves offended when Elisha just sends out these instructions on how to be healed. And if anyone in history has the right to be offended, I would think it might be Elisha. Like, imagine, I'm sure Elisha probably should have been a little offended by what Naaman just did. Like, you come all this way, and I tell you what how to be healed, and you get mad at me? Like, come on. But Elisha didn't. Think about it. Elisha's offering him healing. He tells Naaman how to get healed, right? Does Elisha not have every right to get offended and ticked off? Probably. But he never carried that offense. If anything, Naaman should be coming back to Elisha to apologize, and we're going to read that in a little while. Naaman doesn't have the right to be offended. But how many of us are like this? And we get offended because what we're looking for didn't come in the manner that we were expecting. Naaman gives Elisha so much attitude with how he leaves. And when Naaman responded like that, he got a little bit distracted about everything that he came for and what was happening. And I think being drawn into an offense distracts you. And I've seen people, and like, for instance, the idea about the kitchen, and there's two fridges or three. Do we put a wall here or a wall here? Do we make it on an angle or do we make it straight? Do we go white paint, blue paint, green paint? What's the right paint? Why do we not have marble pillars everywhere? You know, and I think I'm kind of upset because when I built the stage, I was going to build the big riser. So when I'm talking about a big point, it comes up and then it just dries me down the middle. I'm offended we don't have that. I don't know. But being drawn into an offense distracts you. Being drawn into an offense distracts you from what's most important in life, what Christ has called us to. Here it is. His healing is available before him. Here is how you get it, Naaman. Here is how you're going to be healed. But he gets offended because it doesn't look like he thinks. And it distracted him from the things that were most important, his health, his wholeness. So the distraction will cause you to get off track in your life. See, when we start to drink that poison and buy into stuff, it starts to distract us in things like our marriages, with our family, at work, at church, from your ministry opportunities, your opportunities to pour into other people. And you could be sitting here today because someone did something at work at some point, or maybe somebody you're sitting around and they said something and you're a little bit offended by what someone said or did. See, no matter where we gather, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're at the grocery store or here at church, there's always an opportunity for us to get offended and drink that poison, isn't there? And we need to be free and cannot drink that poison. The second thing I notice about offense is being drawn into an offense is a trap. How do I know that? Well, being drawn into an offense is a trap from the enemy. See, the word offense in the New Testament comes from the word Greek, or the Greek word scandal, which is actually just defined by a trap that a hunter sets for his prey. That's what it's defined as. So offense is just a trap from the enemy. It's a trap from Satan to capture us and pull us away and not allow us to be focused on the good things of God. It's a trap to distract us and not allow us to keep our focus on Him and on the blessings and His promises of Scripture that we know are true and yes and amen, aren't they? So don't live in that trap. Don't allow yourself to be trapped. Because when you're trapped, you're not effective, you're distracted, and you're not living according to the blessings and promises we have. The third thing is being drawn into an offense causes us to miss out on God. And this goes hand in hand with what I was just saying. It causes us to miss out on God and His goodness. So let's think about Naaman here for a second, okay? God provided a way for Naaman to be healed, didn't He? Yet his offense kept him from receiving the healing, didn't it? Like, he got ticked off, he got offended, and he walked away. Kept him from getting healed. Naaman was at the door with Elisha to get his healing, but instead of receiving it, he walks away offended. God's here and He wants to heal you, Naaman. But he gets ticked off. See, God wants to heal us. He wants to bless us. He wants to pour out His promises on us. But so many of us are offended and ticked off and don't like how it looks or don't like this or don't even want to walk in the blessings or promises and healing that is promised to us in Scripture. And we're just like, well, no, it's not what I thought it was going to be. This isn't how I thought it was going to be. And I think the moment that you drop that offense and shake those chains loose, God is prepared to step in and do something radical and change your life. I truly believe that. See, something most of us don't realize, or maybe we don't think about, but offense is transferable as well. Offense can transfer from one person to another. Remember how I talked last week about our social drinking? That's what offense does. And you need to be aware of poison, toxic people. They talk, they tell their story, they rehash it, they regurgitate it. They want you to get offended with them. Right? Like, I don't know, Stacy and I, we were drinking coffee the other day and talking about, I don't know, Bob. And how he looked at me and scowled at me and he didn't wave at me. Come on, Bob. Can you believe him? And I was all fired up and then I got Stacy fired up. And all of a sudden now she's offended with Bob because Bob didn't wave at me. Right? This is how it happens and this is how it grows. And now, after church though, I'm going to be going out for lunch with Bill and Kat and I'm going to tell them what Bob did. And I want them to be mad with me. Because why are you not enraged by this? Because Bob didn't wave at me. Obviously, this is how it works for some people. Obviously, I'm pretty, you know, this is, I hope you see that. It's something silly, but it actually happens in people's life. People talk, they tell their story, they regurgitate it, and they try to get people fired up. And if you're not careful, that stuff can end up with you, and now you're offended because you drank the poison. And then you're carrying that offense. And though it has nothing to do with you, just because you're around it, you ingest it, and now you're toxic. And if we're not careful, we end up being mad at that person. And now, it happens so quickly, doesn't it? And I'm thankful that Naaman, who had his big entourage with him, didn't drink the poison, didn't jump in and drink the poison with Naaman and say, yeah, can you believe that, Elisha? He's supposed to be this man of God. And this is what he tells you to do is take a bath, take a hike, buddy. But they did the opposite. So let's keep reading here, okay? 2 Kings 5:13-14 says, Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something, some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, and the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. So the words of Naaman's crew spoke life, and they didn't drink the poison. It didn't take on death. How many times when we have somebody speaking death, spewing poison, regurgitating poison, do we have an opportunity to speak life? That's our choice. If we're not the ones that are offended and we're listening to someone's offended, we have a chance to speak life rather than drinking the poison ourselves. And I was thinking, I think this is probably something that was very humbling for Naaman to do. See, Naaman chose to humble himself, and he went back and he got rid of the toxicity and he was healed and free of leprosy. And I think this is such an amazing story, but this story impacted so many people that even Jesus spoke about the story. Did you know that? So Jesus talked about Naaman the Syrian, not even an Israelite. That's what's so shocking about this, because Jesus probably was telling, well, he was telling Israelites, Jewish people, and Jewish people didn't care about Gentiles, really, right? They're different. They're not my people, so I don't really care. But Luke 4:27, Jesus is talking, and he says, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one was healed, only Naaman the Syrian. It's a big deal. Why only a Syrian was healed of leprosy back then? It's interesting. An uncommon act of faith. Naaman humbled himself to do what Elisha said to do. He got offended, and he could have decided to walk away completely in that offense. Just like when we have an offense come before us, we have a choice to make. We can walk away and take our offense with us and poison wherever we go, or we can drop it. See, he decided he wasn't going to finish that cup of offense. And I bet you he's glad he didn't finish that cup of offense. He dropped the offense and he went in the river and was healed. I truly believe that as we drop those shackles, that just on the other side, there's a breakthrough waiting for us. Just like Naaman. And you might have good reasons to hold on to your offense. Or maybe just kind of like Naaman, there's no real reason other than it doesn't look like and you're just ticked off, right? And you have no need to be offended, but you are. So whatever the reason is, we need to move beyond that offense. We can't let that poison continue to churn in us. We need to break the shackles of offense, don't we? We can't let those, or even before we break those shackles, we can't let that offense shackle us, period. Because it's holding us back from breakthrough, each of us. And maybe you're like, hey, I don't get offended. I don't get offended. Dave, you're speaking to the wrong guy. I don't get offended. And that's great. Awesome. But at some point, you might, or something might happen, Or maybe someone just comes to tell you about their offense and it gives you a teaching opportunity, because we know that everybody in town probably gets offended at some point. So now you can say, well, do you know what that's doing to you? Right? Don't let offense draw you in and hold you back from breakthrough. Because I think we all want to be living in that breakthrough and beyond the breakthrough, don't we? That's all I got today. We don't want to be drawn in. I'm going to invite the music team up. I didn't realize I was already there. I rocked through that. But don't let offense draw you in and hold you back. So we're going to pray right now. And once again, guys, I want to give you an opportunity, if you're holding on to offense, to break those shackles free and to live free and not carry that offense with you. So I'm going to invite you guys to stand, and we're just going to pray. God, right now we come before you, Father. And God, if any of us are holding on to an offense, anyone watching online, anybody watching anywhere, Father, whether it's in this room or online, God, if any of us have an offense, Father, right now I pray in Jesus' name that we would break those shackles free, that we would spit out that poison. God, that you would draw that poison out, much like somebody that was bit by a snake, Father, you would draw that poison out of our body, out of our mind, out of our heart, out of our soul. Whatever is holding us back, Father, and I pray that we would drop it, break the shackles, spit it out, and walk and live in freedom and in blessings that you've promised us, God. Father, I pray that if that offense has caused us to stumble, God, that you would pick us up and dust us off and put us on the path towards you and your goodness, God. Father, I pray that we would shake those shackles free from our hands and our legs, God, and we would live in freedom like you've called us to. God, if you're still working on us and we're not ready to admit that we have an offense, God, I pray that you would continue to work on us throughout the week, Father. God, that you would touch our hearts and stir us. God, that as we get up from our offense and as we walk on from our offense and walk offense free, Father, that you would draw us into you and into a new and real relationship with you, Father, that is just, it just blows us away from what we thought knowing you and having a relationship with you would look like, God. That it would be so much freedom and so much joy and peace in our lives. So God, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your freedom. We thank you for your wholeness you bring us. In Jesus' name, amen. And guys, right now we're going to take an opportunity. If someone doesn't know Jesus and wants to ask Jesus into their heart and cross that line from knowing about Jesus to knowing him personally, from those that maybe have heard about him, talked about him, maybe have asked them into their heart when they were a kid or whatever, and they say, today is the day, I'm done. I want to walk in this new life that he's called us to live in. We're going to just give people an opportunity to accept Jesus. So if you're watching with a group of people, if you're watching here, would you just repeat this prayer with me so that those that want to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior have an opportunity to do that, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I know that my sin has separated me from you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place, rising again in order to make me whole. Jesus, come into my heart, make me a new creation, and give me new life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for sending your Son for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So if that's you and you just accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior just now, contact me at the church, 306-882-2453, and I'd love to connect with you. Email me, message us. We'd love to connect with you and just talk to you and encourage you. And if you just accepted Jesus, we want to give you a Bible and just talk about what this decision means and walk with you through the journey. Guys, let me pray with you one last time, and then we're going to get you on your way, okay? Father God, we thank you that you have called us to freedom. God, I pray that we will be living, we live free lives, and that we don't live shackled, we don't live chained, we live free, blessed, anointed lives. And God, I pray that you would just lead us and guide us this week, Father. Give us opportunities to speak about your goodness and about the wholeness that you bring and about your blessings and your promises and your word. Father, I thank you and I pray that you would just touch each person here and that each of us are encouraged. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless and have a great week.